Pirkei Eliezer, Perek Tazayin. Before we were speaking about Adam Rishon and different things that happened with Adam Rishon. So the end of Perek is we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gemel Chesed to Adam Rishon. He and the Malachim came and made a whole matzav by the Chasana of Adam and Chava, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevorech Adam and Chava like a chazan by a chuppah. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gemilas Chasodim by the chazan of Adam and Chava. So once we're talking about the Gemilas Chasodim by Adam and Chava, so now we speak more about this parak is going to be about Gemilas Chasodim by chasanas in general and different things that are tangentially related to chasanas. And then Perek Yud Zayin is going to be about Gemilas Chasodim by an Avel, someone who's in mourning, and things like that. So it begins like this: Al Shleisha Dvarim Ha'Olam Oymed. The world stands on three things: Al Torah, Al Avoda, Al Gemilas Chasodim. On Torah, on Avoda, and on Gemilas Chasodim. Those are the three things that the world stands on. It's a Mishnah Masechas Avos in Perek Aleph. The world stands on these three things. Torah, Avoda, which usually Avoda means Avoda in the base of Migdash, the worship of Hashem in the temple, Val Gemilas Chasodim, and doing kindness. Last week, Rabbi Nissen Bates mentioned that these three things are Keneged Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Gemilas Chasodim is Avram, he was Isaac in Gemilas Chasodim. Avoda is Yitzchak, who is Isaac in the special Avoda between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Torah is Yaakov Avinu. The Mukubalim, other people say that these three things are connected Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes. Gemilas Chasodim is connected Chesed, because Chesed, we've mentioned before, is Chesed is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Shefa to Klal Yisrael, and we're focusing on the giver. So Gemilas Chasodim is when a person is trying to imitate the ways of Hashem, and he's also giving Chesed to other people. That's Chesed. Avoda is, we said, Gevurah. Gevurah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on the receiver and says, "Oh, does this guy receive it? Does this guy deserve to get this Shefa or not deserve to get this Shefa?" So that's Avoda is when. So basically, when we're talking about Gevurah, it's the actions of a person affects what Hashem does for him. Right? So Avoda is the actions that a person does for Hashem. Pashtus, we're talking about Karbanos. When a person brings Karbanos, he's being Mashpia towards Hashem, and then Hashem bases what he's going to give to the person based on what the person gave to him. That we call Gevurah or Din or whatever. And then Torah is connected to Tiferes, which Tiferes is a combination of Chesed and Gevurah. Tiferes Torah, you can say it in two ways. You can say that Torah, when a person is engaged, let's say you have two people engaged in Torah, so you don't say one's the receiver and one is receiving and one is giving. Because they're both receiving and they're both giving. Mishnah Avos says a person sometimes learns more from his Talmidim than he learns from himself. He's giving to the Talmidim. So when a Rebbe gives to his Talmud, the Talmud also gives to the Rebbe. So they're both the receiver and the giver. So Torah is both of that. Tiferes, which is both Chesed and Gevurah, focusing on receiving and focusing on giving. You could say another way, that Torah includes two components. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. So Torah Shebichsav is what Hashem gave to us, and Torah Shebal Peh is what we give to Hashem. So Torah is Tiferes because it includes both of these things: the Chesed that Hashem gave to us, and the Avoda of that what we give to Hashem. So that's both included in Torah. So the Medrash asks like this: Al Torah.
Could you say there's a completion here? Hashem gave us the Torah, then giving back, like by learning the story of Shabbat. And the explanation is that the Torah Shabbat Peh, we learn in this, and we connect him back to him.
Yeah, you could say it like that also. We got the Torah from him, and then when we learn it, we're sort of kilu giving it back.
Yeah,
I'm not giving it back.
We're
connecting to it. Yeah.
This is discussion about what's more important, to daven or to learn Torah. Yeah. And I remember who said it. Did you know this?
The what?
The discussion about What's more important, to learn Torah or to daven?
The different situations call for different things. Yeah,
exactly. That sounds like when there's no more important thing. Yeah, same. The design is there is more. The learning is more important because you're connected to Hashem. Like you, Hashem is talking to you. And in Tefillah, you're talking to Hashem. You ask him for him. And this is the difference. There's also here, like, the, what's it called?
Which way is it going?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. So the Medrash says, "Ala Torah minayin." How do we know that the world stands on Torah? D'chsiv, it says an apostle can hear me. Ko yamar Hashem imloy brisi yamal v'layla. So says Hashem imloy brisi yamal v'layla. The end of the pasuk is chukas shemayim v'aretz leisamti. If it wasn't for my bris yamal v'layla, my bris, the covenant of Hashem yamal v'layla, day and night, then chukas shemayim v'aretz leisamti. Hashem wouldn't have created the heavens and the earth. So you see. And another pasuk says, "Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha v'ikisav yomam v'layla." That Hashem said to Yeshua that the sefer Torah shouldn't leave your mouth; and you should toil in it day and night. So the first pasuk we see that whatever this brisi yomam v'layla is, Hashem said that if it wasn't for this brisi yomam v'layla, the world wouldn't be created. And the second pasuk says, Hashem told Yeshua, "You better keep learning Torah v'ikisav yomam v'layla. You have to learn it yomam v'layla." So the way the Mepharshim explained it is that what was this brisi yomam v'layla? Imloy brisi yomam v'layla achuk Hashem v'aretz leisamti. Hashem created a world that wasn't for brisi yomam v'layla. What's brisi? So you could understand brisi in a few different ways. But the Medrash is trying to tell you that brisi yomam v'layla is referring to Torah. And it brings the second pasuk of v'gisa b'yomam v'layla, which is said about Torah, to teach you that when we use expression, these keywords yomam v'layla, it's talking about Torah. So brisi yomam v'layla means Torah. That's why it's bringing two psukim. Yeah, kilo like Gzeir Shava. That's what all the Mepharshim say. The Gadol, the Yomi Izmir, the Radal, they all say this idea. The Medrash is bringing two psukim to tell you which one, what does it mean, Brisi Yomam V'layla. The MS is that in the Gemara Mesechas Nedarim, the Radal brings the Gemara Nedarim that brings darshans the pasuk a little bit differently. The Gemara says, "Gedayla mila daflamid vezmanav. Gedayla mila shel mala mila leniskaimu shemaim v'aretz. Bris mila is such a chosh of a thing that if it wasn't for bris mila, the shemaim v'aretz wouldn't exist. Shenamar it says in the pasuk, 'Imloy brisi yomam v'layla chukay shemaim v'aretz leisamti.' If it wasn't for the fact that Hashem made this brisi yomam v'layla, then the world wouldn't be created. And the Gemara says, 'Upligo de Rabbi Eliezer. What we just said is arguing on Rabbi Eliezer." Why? The Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Gedela Torah. Torah is so great. If it wasn't for Torah, the world wouldn't exist." Shneamar brings the same pasuk. So the Gemara really has a machlekes. What does it mean, brisi yomam v'layla? The first pshat of the Gemara is that it's talking about bris mila. The second pshat of the Gemara is that it's talking about Torah. Rabbi Eliezer is the second pshat in the Gemara that he says it's talking about Torah. So Rabbi Eliezer is l'shitasai here in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that he's that understanding that the pasuk of brisi yomam v'layla is talking about Torah as well. That's what Radal points out. Other Mepharshim also say this, but that's why we need two pesukim, because you would have thought if we just brought the pasuk of brisi yomam v'layla, you would think we're talking about bris mila, like the Gemara in the Dar. So we're saying no. Brisi yomam v'layla means the same thing as v'gisa b'yomam v'layla, which means we're just talking about learning Torah. On the other pshat, the Radal says, why do we bring two psukim? Because one is coming to tell you that the olam oymed al Torah shebichsav, and the other one is coming to tell you that the Torah is oymed al Torah shebal peh. Okay, it's another pshat from the Radal. Going weiter. Al ha'avoida minayin. So said one of the second thing that the world stands on is avoida. What is avoida? So we said that avoida means bringing korbanos. Now, Maisa, if you look in the Pirush Rav Avadia Bar Tanur Masechas Avos, he says that avoida is avoida so korbanos, and he says like we see that when the world was destroyed by the Mabul, right after the Mabul, Noach brought korbanos. And then, because Noach brought korbanos, so Hashem gave a shvuah, oh, he's not going to bring another marble to the world. So you see that the world exists because of korbanos. If it wasn't for the korbanos, Hashem wouldn't have made this shvuah to not destroy the world again. And That's why we're still here today. That's what the Partenos seems to be saying. The Avoida means Karbonos. But the Medrash is not going to go like that. The MS is that nowadays that we don't have Karbonos. So Rabbeinu Yoina in Mesachas Avos, in his Pirish over there, says that nowadays that we don't have Karbonos, so we have Tefillah instead of Karbonos. But for us, Avoida doesn't mean Karbonos. For us, Avoida means Tefillah. Interestingly, I found that Moshe of Zakenim once in Parshas Tzav, where he says that nowadays that we don't have Avoida Karbonos, so our Avoida is Bris Milah, which is stam interesting.
Who's that?
The Moshe of Zakenim in Parshas Tzav. I didn't look it up, but that's what I seem to remember he says. But Parshas is like Rabbeinu Yoina. There's other places that move more like Rabbeinu Yoina. I'm thinking it was also going to be like Rabbeinu Yoina. The Avoida nowadays means Tefillah. Now that we don't have Karbonos. So the Medrash says, Al Avoida Minayin. How do we know that the world stands on Avoida? Tichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Usfilas Yisharim Reinayin. And the prayer of Yisharim, of straight people, is the Ritzoinayin. That is the will of Hashem. Now, we just said that we're bringing a pasuk of Tefillah Sisharim, the prayer of straight people. We said Avoida means Avoida the Beis HaMikdash, right? So why bring a pasuk of Tefillah? So the Medrash says, Umahi Avoida, what is Avoida? Not necessarily just Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, Zu Tefillah. Avoida is Tefillah. Like I just said from Rabbeinu Yoina. Shekein Matzina B'Daniel, like we find in Sefer Daniel, the Amalei Daryavish, the Daryavish said to Daniel, Elekoch the ant polach le betidira. The God to whom you always worship. Di polach le betidira. Polach is the lashon of worshipping, tidira is the lashon of tadir. V'chiyesh avoida bebavel. Is there a avoida in Bavel? If avoida means the avoida of the Beis HaMikdash, is there such thing in Bavel? So how could Daryavish be talking about avoiding the Beis HaMikdash when he's talking to Daniel? We're talking about after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when they're in Galus Bavel. Ela zu tefillah. What's the polach? What's this avoida that Daniel used to do? It must be that it was tefillah. Fine, that's tefillah. But al gemilus chasodim, and al gemilus chasodim, we said the world stands on, the third thing is gemilus chasodim. What's chasodim? La chasodim, so gemilus chasodim means doing kindness. For some reason, okay, I know why. The Medrash is going to go with Gemilas Chasanim, but specifically Gemilas Chasanim for a Chasan and Kala, for a Chasana. So it says like this: Gemilas Chasanim, the Chasanim minayin anu lemedin. Where do we know Gemilas Chasanim by a Chasan and Kala? The Rav Chaim Falachi in Par Echad points out that what's the chiddush of dafka Gemilas Chasanim by a Chasan and Kala? What's the Gemilas Chasanim, go visit sick people or you know, be Menachem Bavel, why dafka is the Medrash picking on going to a chasan, helping a chasan, being mesameach a chasan and kala? Why is that more of a Gemilas Chasanim than anything else? So he says that it's coming to teach you a chiddush. You would have thought that what's the Gemilas Chasanim by a chasan and kala? You go to a chasana and you drink and you eat and you be merry and you get all happy and whatever, and then you make other people happy. That's the chesed you do for chasad and kala, yeah? Is that such a chesed? You're doing it for the chasad and kala, you're doing it for yourself. You want it, it's a geschmack to go to chasad and be happy or whatever. You're not necessarily doing it for him. So you would think that's not called gemilas chasadim. You would think that, or at least that's a lower level of gemilas chasadim. So we're saying, the Medrash is saying that when we say that the world stands on Gemilas Chasadim, it's even on that type of Gemilas Chasadim. You're doing it also for yourself.
Well, even if we went to Bnei Brak and know it's going to take like 2 hours to get back, you just don't want to do it?
No, that's something that for sure is Gemilas Chasadim, because you're doing it just for him. But I'm saying if you're doing it also for yourself, even that's called Gemilas Chasadim. Yeah. Sure. So where do we see... You just have to say that. Where do we see that there's an Indian of Gemilas Chasanim for a Chasan and Kala? Mekodesh Baruch Hu. We learn it out from Hashem. Shuhu v'atzvei gomal chesed la'avram la'adam u'la'ezrei. Because he himself came and gave chesed to Adam Rishon and to his Ezra, to his helper, to Chava. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu l'malach yashayitz. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the malach yashayitz, Boyu v'nigmal chesed la'adam u'la'ezrei. Come and let's give chesed, do chesed for Adam Rishon and to his wife. V'yayir HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'malach yashar yis ligmal chesed la'adam u'la'azrei. And Kodesh Baruch Hu came down, him and the Malachi Asharis came down to do chesed to Adam Rishon and to his helper, to his wife. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Chaviva lefanei gemilos chasodim mizvachem v'oilis shasidin Yisrael lehakiv lefanei al gabi ha-mizbeach. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that doing gemilos chasodim is more dear to me than all the korbanos zvachem and oilis. A korban shlom and korban oila that Klal Yisrael are destined to bring in front of me on the mizbeach. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that chesed is more chashuv than korbanos. Shneira, it says in the pasuk, ki chesed chofatzli v'lo yizavach. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I desired chesed and not zavach, not korbanos. I want you to do chesed to people. I don't want you to be busy with bringing korbanos. What's the Indian of Hashem wants people to do chesed, not korbanos? So Biliyomi Izmir says that the vart is that why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu create the world? So Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in order to do good to creation, to the la'itev al-abriyas, right? So when you do good to people, so you're taking on the role of Hashem, and you become like a shutif in the creation of the world. Hashem created the world in order to do good, and you're also doing good. So you're in some way you're in the same role as Hashem. So that Hashem would rather you do that than to be busy giving korbanos to Hashem. Hashem's not. I didn't create the world for me. I created the world to do good to people. So you're doing good to people. So that's better than doing good to kilu kibiyachal doing good to Hashem by bringing korbanos.
Right. I think it's benefiting Hashem. So, Kibachol is expecting us, like, also to have this meter of do whatever you have to do, but do chesed, because chesed, you don't have to do it. You don't need it. It doesn't help you. It doesn't bring you money, it doesn't bring you more time, it doesn't bring you beautiful things in this world. It's just do it because you know that it's
to do good to other people.
Yeah, the righteous thing to do.
Right. So that's the Indian of Gemilos Chasadim for Chasan and Kala, and basically the rest of the pack is also going to be discussing different examples and then a bunch of different tangents about the Indian of Gemilos Chasadim for Chasan and Kala. And the next pack is going to be about Gemilos Chasadim for a person in Avelos. Just a point over here about Gemilos Chasadim. So we said, how do we know that the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? So the Medrash didn't really give an answer to that question. The Medrash gave an answer, how do we know Torah, how do we know Avodah? And then when it says Gemilos Chasadim, it was giving this whole example of Hashem being Goyimel Chasad to Adam Rishon and Chava by their Chasana. But it doesn't say, how do we know the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? It doesn't talk about that. I don't know why, but for some reason it doesn't. In Ovis Rabbi Nosson, on this Mishnah over here of Al Shlesh Adorim Ha'ilam Oimei, Al Torah Avodah, Gemilos Chasadim, so in Ovis Rabbi Nosson, it brings a Pasuk, how do you know the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? Because it says in the Pasuk, Ki omarti oilam chesed yibane. Pasuk in Tilim, Hashem, the way Chazal does the pasuk, Hashem said, oilam chesed yibane. The world is built on chesed. So you see, the world is built on chesed. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his Pirush on Maseches Avos, Ruach Chaim, so he says an interesting idea. He says that there's a difference. We say this: the world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilos Chasadim. So there's a difference between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Says, before Matan Torah, the world really stood on just Gemilos Chasadim and Avodah. He brings one Medrash that says that the world just stood on Gemilos Chasadim. He says that, but it also stood on Avodah, because Avodah, whatever you want, Avodah existed before the Torah was given, because Korbanos existed before. He says that Korbanos wasn't kavua; there was no schedule; it wasn't set. Korbanos was when you felt like bringing a korban, you brought a korban. You didn't have to bring this every day and this every day. So Avodah was there, but it wasn't set. The ikra thing before Matan Torah was Gemilos Chasadim. That was the ikra thing that the world was standing on. Just Gemilos Chasadim. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, after Matan Torah, so the Torah came and sort of trumps the other two things. We had Gemilos Chasadim and Avodah. Comes along the Torah and tells you how to do Gemilos Chasadim and Avodah, and it changes it around. And the ikar thing now that the world is standing on is the Torah. So what do you mean? For example, before the Torah is given, so you can do Avodah however you want. What type of animal you want to bring? That could be even before Matan Torah. You could only bring a kosher animal. But where do I have to bring it? I could bring it wherever I want. Make a korban over here, make it over there, make it in America, make it in whatever. to the Torah. No, if you bring a korban over here, it's mamish called shchut echutz. It's not a korban. You have to go to a certain place. Hashem tells you exactly how to do it. Beforehand, you can do it however you want. Afterwards, not necessarily. The same thing with Gemilas Chasadim. Chaim Volozhiner says that before Matan Torah, so if you have a poor man, he doesn't have any money, so it's a big chesed to give him a loan, even if you're giving him a loan with interest. I'm making a little bit of money, you get money because you don't have any money and you need money, so I give you some money. I'll make a little bit on the side because you'll have to pay me back a little bit more, but I'm doing it. It's a huge chesed for you, right? Comes along, so before Matan Torah, that could have been that was a kiyum of Gemilas Chasadim. Afterwards, no, the Torah says no. You have to do Gemilas Chasadim in this specific way. When you give a guy money, you can't charge him money. You can't charge him for it. You have to give it to him without interest. $100 for $100. You don't say if you pay me late or whatever. No, $100 for $100. That's Gemilas Chasadim. So the Torah redefined what's avodah and what's Gemilas Chasadim. Another interesting thing. Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Ruach Chaim doesn't speak this out, but in Nefesh HaChaim Shar Aleph, in the end of Perek Chaf Aleph, he speaks this out very big kitzer, but this is the idea that he's talking about. This pasuk we said Ki Omarati, I don't have a chumash with me. Okay, whatever. Ki Omarati Olam, no, it's okay. Ki Omarati Olam Chesed Yivane. The world was built on Chesed. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Nun Chesem and Beis says what's that talking about? The world was built on Chesed. It's talking about Cain marrying his sister. That's what the Gemara says. It's talking about Cain marrying his sister. Why? Well, marrying your sister is called chesed. It says in the pasuk, "Ish ki kach es achoisay chesed hu." It's called a chesed. Why is it a chesed? Of course, it's a chesed. The poor girl, you know. First of all, you know, maybe she's not going to marry. You know, she won't find the shidduch. So you're doing her a favor. You're going to marry her. The Gemara says in Yevamos that there's a mitzvah dafka to marry your niece. Why? Because your niece is, let's say, is a closer relative, so you have similar ideas with her, and you'll cherish her more. And there's an inyan dafka that you should marry somebody that you're gonna cherish more, that you're gonna love her more. So your sister Kol Shekein, she's your sister, right? So the Gemara says that it's a chesed to marry your sister. So why is it usher? The Torah came along and said it. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that before Matan Torah, you can make cheshbonis. You know, this is what I'm supposed to do, but you know, this is more of a chesed, so I'll go with the chesed. Even a ben noyach is not allowed to marry his sister, but if you decide, no, it's more of a chesed, or this is more needed for the kiyum of the world. So sometimes you could take those cheshbonis, and that'll trump even an iser for bnei noyach. But once the Torah comes along, the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to marry your sister, even though it's a chesed. The Torah says, that's not the type of chesed I want you to do. The Torah comes along and redefines what does it mean chesed, what does it mean avoda. That's an important nukud over here. Okay. I said before that we mentioned before this whole thing about Hashem coming and doing Gemilas Chasadim by the chasen of Adam and Chava. We talked about it in Perek Yud Beis that Hashem came like a chazan, dressed up in a talus like a chazan, and made a brachas for them. Okay. Now the manager is going to go off on a tangent and speak about other cases of kilu chesed by chasanas and chasanas in general. Rabbi Yosi says, "Meinayim anu lemeidin shivas yimei hamishna." From where do we know there's an inyan of shivas yimei hamishna, shavu brachas? Where do we know that for 7 days you're supposed to have a party after you get married? Yaakov Avinu. We learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Why? Kishinosa as Leah also shivas yimei hamishna. When Yaakov Avinu first married Leah, they made also sounds like it means that he made, but the Radal points out that he didn't make the parties. Lavan made the parties, but Yaakov participated. So they made 7 days of partying after he got married to Leah. Shinamar, because it says in the pasuk that after Yaakov realized that it was Leah and not Rachel, so he says to Lavan, "I want to marry Rachel, not Leah." So Lavan says, "First of all, Mali Shavua Zois. Let's finish off this week. Finish this week all the parties, whatever, after your first chasana, and then you can go marry Rachel afterwards." So you see that there's an inyan that when a person gets married, you're supposed to make a party for 7 days. Shiva Simei Mishnah. The Ramban and Chumash says that, you know, it sounds like from over here, like this is the source. It's almost like a halacha from learned out of Yaakov, and he says that's not necessarily true. He says there's a Gemara in the Yerushalmi, in the Ksubis, beginning of Ksubis, the Yerushalmi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the Shivas Yimei Avelus and the Shivas Yimei Mishta. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin Sheva, the 7 days of celebration after a wedding, the 7 days of mourning for a dead relative. So it says that it sounds like it's a Takana Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't come from Yaakov. So this is that even before, this is one of the ideas that the Ramban talks about in a few places, that even before the Torah was given, people were noyeg different elements of the Torah beforehand. He says, the Ramban also says this about Yibum, but he says that even beforehand, Yaakov Avinu or the Avos, whatever, they were noyeg this Indian of Shivas Yimei Mishta even before the Torah was given, and then afterwards Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin it. And then the Radal points out that the Rambam seems to say that it was a Takanas Chachamim, and then the Radal brings the Tana de Be'elio, the Medrash Tana de Be'elio, that says that, if I'm not mistaken, what it says is that the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim is to taunt the Jews and say, like, why you guys bother getting married and having Shivas Yom Mishta and partying for 7 days? You're slaves. That's what they used to taunt the Jews to say. So you see that, so the Radal says, you see that even already in Mitzrayim they had Shivas Yom Mishta, they had the Indian of Shavuot Brachos. Okay.
So,
what?
Tradition,
yeah, Moscow. The Maisa we'll speak about in the next parak of Zion, a little bit more about this Indian, but it's not so pasha that you can learn things from before Matan Torah. The Vilyomi Israel points this out. Over here, if we learn the Indian of Shivas Yimei Mishta from Yaakov Avinu, it's not so pasha that you can do that, because Yaakov Avinu is before Matan Torah. So how do you know that? How could we learn out from before Matan Torah to after? We said before that everything changed. The Torah redefined how different things go. So maybe that was before Matan Torah, there's Indian of Shivas Yimei Mishta. How do you know after Matan Torah? So Vilyomi Izmir says that this Rabbi Yossi, who learns it out from Yaakov Avinu, he holds you could learn from before Matan Torah. In the next part, we're going to see that he also learns that the 7 days of Avelis, he learns it from the days of Avelis by Yaakov Avinu, that they had 7 days of Avelis, even though that's before Matan Torah as well. So Rabbi Yossi holds that you can learn things out from before Matan Torah. At the end of this parak, which we won't get to this week, one of the Tanaim is going to say that we learn out Shivas Yimei Mishta not from Yaakov Avinu, but from Shimshon. The Shimshon made a party for 7 days after he got married, because that's after Matan Torah, so that you can learn. From Yaakov Avinu you can't learn it, but from Shimshon you could learn it. That's what Rabbi Leo Mezra says. But this sheet over here, Rabbi Yossi, he holds you could learn from before Matan Torah. But V'netzu kol anshei ha'mokim ligmal chesed im Yaakov. All the people from the place of Aram Naharaim, where Yaakov Avinu was, they all came, they gathered together to do chesed with Yaakov Avinu. So why are we bringing this story? Because we see that they're doing chesed by a chasana. They came to do chesed by the chasana, they came to dance by a chasana, or whatever. Everyone in the city that Lavan lived in. Remember, it says in the pasuk, "Vayaasayv Lavan is called Anshe Hamokim Vayaas Mishta." Lavan gathered all the people of the place, and they made a party. Over them, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, or Hashem said, "Atem gamaltem chesed im Yaakov Avdi. You did chesed with my servant Yaakov Avinu. Ani egmel ve'etin schachem bo'elam hazeh. I am going to pay you back and give you schar in olam hazeh." And we know that we spoke about this a little bit last week, that by Rishayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their schar in Olam Hazeh, so that when they go to Olam Haba, they'll get complete punishment. And by Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their einish in Olam Hazeh, so when they go to Olam Haba, they'll get their complete reward. We spoke about it last week, and it happens to be that I came across.
You never find 100 shekel bills.
You never find 100 shekel bills before? Me, yeah. The Gemara in Kiddushin also speaks about this at the end of the first parak, and I think it's Memlimibes and Memalafimibes. It speaks about this idea twice over there. That's what Hashem does. So Hashem said, these people from Aram Naharaim, where Lavan lived, the Aramians, they came to dance at Yaakov Avinu's chasana. So Hashem said, I'm going to give them their schar in Olam Hazeh. So that you know, some of them were Rishayim, so that they'll get punished or whatever in Olam Haba. Shelo yehei schar Rishayim la'Olam Haba. Ni egmel ve'etin schachem la'Olam Hazeh. Shelo yehei schar Rishayim la'Olam Haba. I'm going to give their schar in Olam Hazeh, so that there won't be schar for Rishayim in Olam Haba. So what does Hashem do? Shneim ratzon the pasuk. Ki voy nasan Hashem tishua la'aram la'rom v'kibal scharim. So this pasuk is talking about like this. In many centuries later, when we're talking about in Malachim Beis, in the time of Achav. Achav was a melech in Yisrael, in the time of Elisha Navi, in the time of Eliyahu Navi. So there was a war between Malchus Yisrael under Achav and the Aram Damascus. Aram Damascus, or Syria, basically. Or that area of Syria that was a city-state of Damascus, maybe. So the king over there, his name was Ben-Hadad. So the general of the Aramean army, his name was Naaman. There's a story brought down over there in Malachim Beis that Naaman had tzaras, and he didn't know how to heal his tzaras, and he ended up getting a message to Elisha, and Elisha told him to go in the river, and he didn't want to do it, whatever, and he ended up doing it. He went in the river, he got healed, and Naaman believed in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He started believing in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Naaman. So the story goes that by this war, by mistake, Naaman shot out an arrow, and it ended up that arrow is the one that hit Achav, the king of Yisrael, and killed him. And because of that, Aram won the war. That's what happened. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving the schar that the people from Aram came to dance by the chasar of Yaakov, you know, that many years later, it ended up that Naaman's arrow, that he shot mamish like an accident, unintentionally, lefitumai, I believe is the lashon of the pasuk, letumai, he shot it and it hit poof, of all the people that it should hit, and it shouldn't hit anyone because it was like mamish, it wasn't aiming at anyone. It ended up hitting the king of Yisrael, and from that Achav died. So that's the schar that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Aram for dancing at Yaakov Avinu's chasana, that they were able to kill Achav and they won the war. What? Right there. Rabbi Shmaya says, Kosov Avram. Now we're going to speak about, fine, we spoke about the Yaakov Avinu's chasana. We're going a little bit out of historical order over here. Now we're going to go back and speak about the chasana of Yitzhak Avinu, that Avram sent Eliezer to go find the shidduch for Yitzhak. So we're going to speak by Richos about that story. Rabbi Shmaya says, Kosov Avram Kol Asher Lo'i LiYitzchak Yerushon. Avram Avinu wrote in a document, official document, that he's giving everything that he owns to Yitzchak as a Yerusha, as an inheritance. V'Natal Haksav Unusonai Biyad Eliezer Avdei. And he took this document and he gave it to Eliezer, his servant, Shiyelech LiHishbeach BeVeis Oviv UveMishpachtei, so that Eliezer will be able to use this document to show how chashuv the family of Yitzchak is, so that somebody will want to marry Yitzchak. The pasuk says in Parshas Chayisara, when it talks about this story, it says v'chol tuv adinav biyodei, that when Eliezer left from Avram to go to find the shidduch for Yitzchak, so v'chol tuv adinav biyodei, all the goods of his master was in his hand. So Rashi brings down all the goods of Avram Avinu was with Eliezer. Eliezer took everything out of the house with him to go find the shidduch for Yitzchak. It doesn't make any sense. Rather, what does it mean? It means that he took a document with him that says that Avram Avinu bequeaths all of his possessions to Yitzchak. And now Yitzchak is a really rich guy, so the girls will want to marry him. That's what happened over there. So we're going to speak about Eliezer's journey and his mission over there to find the shidduch for Yitzchak. But before we speak about that, I just want to talk about a discussion over here that the Mefarshim speak about. The Mizrahi, one of the main Mefarshim and Rashi in Chumash, asks the question. There's a Gemara, Sachas Bava Basra, it's also, I think, in Ksubis. It says, Loi Saver Inish Achsanta Afil Mibra Bish Lebra Tov. A person can't switch the Yerusha, the inheritance, even from a bad son to a good son. The Torah tells us the rules of inheritance, that all the sons split it equally, except the oldest one usually gets double, and it's split between the sons. You can't switch it, you can't change it around and give all your stuff to one son. And it's, the Gemara says, even from a bad son to a good son, you can't take it away, you can't switch around the Yerusha like that. So the Mizrahi asks, on Rashi, how can Avram Avinu write a shtar that he's giving all his possessions to Yitzchak as a Yerusha? You're not allowed to do that. You can't give away, you can't take away the Yerusha from one son and give it to the other son. Afilu, from a bad son to a good son. Even though Yishmael was a bad son, you can't take it and give everything to Yitzchak. So how can Rav Avinu do that? That's the Mizrahi's kash on Rashi. A lot of Rishonim speak about this, and they give different tirtzim. The first one is the Das Tekenim. The Das Tekenim says like this: that Yishmael had the status of a ger. Yishmael didn't have the status of a son of Avram Avinu, because he was born before Avram had a bris. So it was kilu before Avram was, so to speak, Jewish. So Avram Avinu was a ger. He converted by making his bris, and Yishmael independently converted by making his bris. So Yishmael had a din of a ger. The halacha is that even though a goy yarshins his father, but a ger doesn't yarshin his father. So Yishmael was completely out of the picture. That's one answer, basically, from the Das Tekenim. The Moshe of Zekenim, another...
Because of Avram, not because of him, actually.
Because
of Avram, you know, turned the page.
Right. The Moshe of Zekenim, which is another sefer from Bali Atesus on Chumash, and also the Chassam Sefer in Masechet Ksubos brings this the same answer in the name of his father. They say another answer. They say that when Sarah was complaining to Avram Avin about Yishmael, you know, bothering Yitzchak and making trouble for him, so she said to him, "Ki lo yirat ben ama zayis im bini im Yitzchak." This the son of this maidservant. He shouldn't yarshin like my son with Yitzchak, and I want you to send him away, right? And Avraham Avinu was mesupek. He didn't know what to do. Should I send him away? Should I send away my wife and kid, Hagar and Yishmael? Should I send them away? You know, it's not nice to send them away like that. He didn't know, or I have to listen to, or should I listen to Sarah? So the pasuk says that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Kol asher temer alecha, Sarah taseh," something like that.
I think I wrote on the pasuk. "Kol asher temer alecha, Sarah." They write on the pasuk. Yeah,
cool. Something like that. I don't remember exactly the lashon of the pasuk. And Hashem says, "Do whatever Sarah tells you." And Rashi even brings on that pasuk that the nevuah, the Sarah was on a higher darga of nevuah than Avram Avinu was. And Hashem said to him, "Look, Avram, listen to Sarah. She knows what she's talking about." And included in what Sarah said was Lo Yirash Ben Ha'amaz Zayisim Bnei Yitzchak, that he's not going to get Yerusha. So there's a special nevuah that Sarah said that Yishmael should not get Yerusha, and that's why Avraham Avinu was able to switch it from splitting it between Yishmael and Yitzchak to only Yitzchak. That's the Chassam Sefer and Moshe of Zekenim. They both said the same idea. There's a special nevuah. Special nevuah from Sarah.
Nothing to do with the
hairs? No, a different answer. I'm thinking that was one answer. This is a different answer. Yeah. Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, another one of the Rishonim on Chumash, is a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. That basically places him in the same time period as the Rosh. So he says this answer, that the Gemara says, why is it usher to switch your Yerusha from one son to another son? The Gemara, I feel him, he brought Bishl, brought Tov. So the Gemara says, because you don't know which one is going to end up being good and which one's going to end up being bad. It seems right now like this one's good and this one's bad. So before a guy dies, it's like, okay, I'm going to give everything to the good son, right? And then the moment he dies, maybe the good son's going to go off the derech and the bad son's going to come back. So you don't know what's going to be. So better just leave it the way the Torah said it. Don't play around with it.
Except if you're Avraham Avinu.
If you're Avraham Avinu.
If you're Yaakov Avinu.
Oh. But if you're Avraham Avinu, and you had a special note from Hashem, that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Ki bi Yitzchak yikari lecha zara," and you know that Yitzchak's going to follow your path, and you know that Yishmael's not following your path, so give it all to Yitzchak, why not? The Gemara was only talking about a regular guy, wasn't talking about someone who didn't know what's going to happen. Who did know what's going to happen. So that's the teretz of the Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. Rav Yosef Engel also says this teretz in Beis HaOitzer. Different teretz. Another question is, what about the B'nai Keturah? So it could be that once this already happened, before the B'nai Keturah existed, so then they already lost out everything.
What is this concept of the special Nebuah? Okay, we're seeing it as special Nebuah, but Avraham Avinu is always talking to Hashem. What's more special than that?
Which what are you asking?
The two answers about the special nevuah that Sarah had,
yeah,
and then this one that Aram had. Where does it come from? What is a special nevuah? Nevuah is nevuah. If Hashem opens your mind.
Yeah. We're just using these ideas to prove that there was a certain nevuah that said that this is what should be. Not. I don't know why I said special nevuah. A nevuah. Call it a nevuah. I'm just proving to you that there was a nevuah, either because of what Sarah said, or because it said v'yitzchak yikar lechazara. So there was a nevuah involved in here. The last two terutzim are basically saying, well, the other terutzim said that he didn't give as a yerusha, he gave it as a matana before he died, as a present. So that when he died, he didn't own anything.
The Gemara in Besuvis says that if you want, if you have a son that's a rasha and a son that's a tov,
right?
So
you can get around this problem by doing it.
But you can give it over to the tov with on the imet tenai that he will take.
That he stays good.
But he's already got all the money. He owns all the money.
But the Radal says that you can't say that that's what we're talking about over here. Because let's look at the Lashon again. Kosav Avram Kol Asher Lo LeYitzchak Yerusha, as a Yerusha, not as a Matana, as a Yerusha. So it says it wasn't a Matana, it was a Yerusha. But the Rambam question, I said that it was a Matana.
I mean, how come you can't say that's still called a Yerusha because you're giving up all of your
possessions?
Even though it's technically
as if he dies, or Yerusha is a specific term that when a guy dies, so his descendants automatically own it, right? Right. Matana is a different mechanism.
Right.
Like Yerusha, you don't need to make a kinyan on Yerusha. A matana, you have to make a kinyan. Yerusha comes on its own, mimela. But a matana, you have to pick it up or whatever, or get a shtar or whatever exactly the opt is. What?
It's not a good start.
Right.
Yerusha can
do. Okay. So Eliezer is walking with this document in hand that says that everything belongs to Yitzchak, and now he's going to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. Umikiryas Arba ad Choron Mahalach Shiva Soryan. From Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, where Avram Avinu lived, till Choron, which is in Syria, where Avram Avinu's family lived, is a journey of the 17 days. If you journey 17 days, that's how long it takes to get there. Uveshor shoyis baha eved ad Choron. But the eved Eliezer reached Choron in 3 hours. Vayatame belibay. He was wondering in his heart. Vayemer, he said, Hayom yatzasi vayom basi. Today I left Hebron, and today I arrived at Choron. Doesn't make it. What happened over here? Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk, when he was davening to Hashem by the well that he should find a good shidduch for Yitzchak, he said, "Vo'avoy hayoyim el ha'oyin," and I came today to the well. He came today. He left today, and he came today. That's what it's darshining over here. The Radal, I don't know why the Radal says this, but the Radal says, I think it's a shtickle funny idea. He says an idea Eliezer left at noon, and it took him 3 hours to get there. Right? So we always play with this when we're talking about hours in the Jewish calendar. Right? Pretend like we're talking about what I call the perfect day, where the beginning of the day is at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the end of the day is at 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 to 6. Right? So that would mean that the middle of the day, midday, is exactly 12 o'clock in the morning. Chatzos Hayom is 12 o'clock, right? So let's say Eliezer left Hebron at 12 o'clock, midday, and it took him 3 hours. So he got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So it says like this. That it says in the pasuk that when did he get there? So it says that Eliezer got to the well le'eis erev le'eis tzeis hashayavos. He got there in the evening when people are coming to go draw things from the well. In the evening. And towards le'es erev, towards the evening. Mincha time. Like between 3 and 6 is like the last 3 hours of the day. That's like when you daven mincha. So that's when Eliezer got to the... That's when Eliezer got there. And he brings a zohar that says that Eliezer got to Choron mincha time. So who said that Eliezer left at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? So later on, but later on it says that when he leaves Choron, he left at 6 hours into the day. So if he left at 12 o'clock, so Mestame, he also left at 12 o'clock on his way. If he left on his way back, so Mestame left. So the Radal, it's an interesting shtickle that the Radal says over here. It's Ois Yud Ches, if you want to look at it. But so how did it happen? He left and he got there in 3 hours. It's a 17-day journey. So Rabbi Abahu Omar, Rabbi Bose says, Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ligmal Chesed Im Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do Gemilas Chesed with Yitzchak. He wanted to do Chesed to Yitzchak to help him get his Shidduch faster. I guess that's the word. It doesn't say it, but I think that's it. To get his Shidduch faster. V'sholach Malach Lefnei Eliezer Eben Avram. He sent a Malach in front of Eliezer, the servant of Avram. V'nikbetz Lo Yaderech. And the Malach did Kfitzas Aderech for him. U'bo B'sholish Ha'Eved L'Charen. And because of that, the Eved Eliezer was able to get the Charen in 3 hours instead of 17 days. But
that's a chesed for Yitzhak. It's a chesed.
That's the way I understand it, yeah.
Or Abraham, either.
Right.
Because you could also say it's a chesed for Abraham that his son, that his progeny would be
getting, bringing on to the next generation.
Next generation, yeah. Quicker.
So why are we bringing down this story? So one of the reasons why we bring it down is because of this line that Hashem wanted to give chesed to Yitzchak. But we'll see there's other nekudas that we wanted to bring out. The Radal adds the word hakol over here. The hakol tzafoy lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is foreseen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem sees everything and He prepares it to make sure that everything is going to work out good. What time is it, by the way? So that means we just go forever. We don't have a watch. 24. Okay, everything was foreseen in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he made sure everything was going to work out. Why? Bas Milochim, a daughter of kings, Shlo Yatzosav Miyameha Lishoiv Mayim, who in her entire life never went out to go draw water from the well, Yatzosav Lishoiv Mayim Ba'isa Hashah. She went out to go draw water from the well exactly at that moment when Eliezer was going out to the well to find the shidduch for Yitzchak. She was Bas Malachim. She was the daughter of kings. The Marzu says that her father Bisuel has lots of slaves. He was a rich man. He had lots of slaves. It happened to be that today his slaves were all busy or whatever, and it happened to be that his daughter, he sent his daughter out to get the water instead of sending out the slaves. He had all this part because of Eliezer's davening. Eliezer davened that he should get a good shidduch for Yitzchak over there by the well. So it's going to come out that it's going to happen over there, mamish, by the well. But before we get to that, there's an interesting discussion over here. Bas Melachim.
That's why maybe people have this strange thing about wishing wells.
A wishing well?
The thing of the wishing
well. Yeah. You put some money in it.
Whatever they go and do, they throw some money inside.
You say Shiva Shuti, you go to the wishing well, you collect all the money.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Wishing well. I think someone told me that once, actually, that that's where it comes from Eliezer. I think someone told me that. What does this mean? That Bas Melachim, Rivka was Bas Melachim. She was the daughter of kings. Oh, Stam, interesting. I just learned this week. Listening to a series of lectures on Shabbos Tzvi, Yimach Shemai. One of his writings, Shabbos Tzvi writes that he's gonna go across a certain day, is gonna come, whatever, and then he's gonna go across the Sambatyan, and he's gonna marry Rivka, the daughter of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's 13 years old. That's what Shabbos Tzvi writes. He's a Meshuga, Stam. But it's not interesting. Her name was Rivka, the daughter of Moshe Rabbeinu. But our Rivka over here by Yitzchak Lahavdil is Bas Melachim. She's a daughter of kings. What does it mean, Bas Melachim? She's a daughter of kings. So Mefarshim say like this. First of all, the Sefer Yashar, Baran Seder Duris, says that Terach, the father of Avram and Nachor, Terach, who was her great grandfather, right? Terach was a general in the army of Nimrod. So he was like a chashav guy. Nachor, it seems, was also a very important figure, because it says that Eliezer went el ir Nachor, to the city of Nachor. Right? So Nachor was his city. I don't know whether he was the mayor or he was something. I don't know exactly what. And the next thing is the Yalkut says, the Yalkut Shemaini brings down that Bisuel was the king of Aram. Besuel himself, the father of Rivka, he was the king over there in Aram. He was the king. So Bas Malachim, she was mamish, like she was from a chashav of him. Huh?
His son, Lavan Ha'arami.
Lavan
Ha'arami, maybe it's like.
No, maybe. Everyone is, that's how you refer to a person from what country he's from.
That's true, but.
Lavan Ha'arami.
His Abba was the king of him.
Could be.
I
actually have a question on it, because when Yaakov Avinu came, now we're talking about Eliezer getting a shidduch for Yitzhak. Later on, when Yaakov Avinu comes to get a shidduch for himself, so he says to them, he says to the people at the well, he says, "Hayidatam is Lavan ben Nachor. Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor?" So the first, Lavan wasn't the son of Nachor. Lavan was the son of Besuel, who was a son of Nachor. So why did Yaakov even refer to Lavan as the son of Nachor? Why not the son of Besuel? So the Radak, it happens that it's Miyachas, the person's grandfather, not to his father.
Yeah.
You're right, it does happen a lot. And that's why I'm not really bothered by the question. What I'm going to be bothered by is the Radak's answer. The Radak says that the reason why it says Lavan ben Nachor, not Lavan ben Besuel, is because apparently Besuel died young or whatever, and no one knew who Besuel was exactly. So he called him Lavan ben Nachor because Nachor was more famous than Besuel. That's what Radak says. Now I ask the question: if Besuel was the king, you're going to tell me that nobody knew who Besuel was? He was the king. I don't know. Maybe it was only a short-lived reign. So
in English, there were sometimes on this for just a couple of years, and then they did hide, and I guess they're forgotten because they weren't around for so long.
And what, 10 years later, no one remembered who he was. No one remembered who the previous king was. I don't know. It's not 10 years later, but okay, 50 years later.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's more than 50. Let's see. How old was Yitzhak Yaakov when he went to get a shidduch? He was in his 60s, and he was born. Okay, so 20 years after Yitzchak got married, so it's like 80 years later. Okay. It's like 80 years later. I can hear maybe people forget things.
Enough to forget. Maybe.
I don't know.
Is it enough to forget without historical...
People say the opposite. People say in the olden days, time was the opposite way. 80 years is like 5 years and like in terms of forgetting. I could be right. But it's interesting, the Medrash says that Yalkut Shemayni over there in Parshas Chayasara, that says that Besuel was the king. So Besuel was the king, and it said that what he would do, maybe we'll speak more about this next week, but what Besuel would do is, as the king of Aram, he made a law that any girl who gets married first has to have relations with him. Yeah? And they were plotting against him, and they said, his people said, "Look, we'll take this law. We'll go with it. But let's see what he does with his own kid. If his own kid before she gets married, he does that. So fine. So it's fair. He's doing it to everyone. If he's doing it just for his enjoyment, he's not even going to do it to his own kid. So then we're gonna kill him, and we're gonna get a different king." That's what it says in the Medrash that they did, and what ended up that. That he died before she got married, so it wasn't the Gaya, right? But he was planning on doing that. That's what it says in the Medrash. Interesting idea. But Rabbi Liomi Izmir, in his Sefer Medrash Talpiyos, this gets even more interesting. Medrash Talpiyos on the word Zivug. So he brings down this Medrash and he says, "I don't understand. Why would anyone listen to such a law? Why would the people agree to it? Why would the girl agree to it? Why would her future husband agree to it? It doesn't make any sense. Why would someone do it?" So he says, how was it that Besuel was able to convince people to follow this law? He says a very important idea. He says, this is how he did it. He said, it's part of the religion. He made up a whole Avodah Zarah. This is part of the laws of this Avodah Zarah. Is that the king gets to have relations with every girl before she gets married. It's part of their Avodah Zarah. And he says that we find similar weird things that they do, their fetishes that they do for their Avodah Zarah. We find such thing. He brings a very interesting thing from the Sefer Shevet Yehuda. There is a sefer called Shevet Yehuda from Rabbeinu Shlomo ibn Virga, but I couldn't find this there. So this is something different sefer called Shevet Yehuda. It says that there's a type of avodah zarah that what they do is like this: they have a statue of a man, a complete form of a man made out of gold. And every year they would go find a beautiful virgin and take her and have her fall on top of this man in a way that she becomes not a virgin. And then they would, from the statue or whatever, then they would take the blood and take that blood and bake it into cakes, and all the priests from the temple would eat those cakes, and they would keep the girl in the temple, and anyone who wants to have all their sins forgiven would pay a lot of money and have relations with this girl, and all their sins would be forgiven. And then he says that and every day they would offer 7 mice and 7 bats as a sacrifice to this idol. So he says that you see, we find these like weird things like that are part of their avodah zarah. So he says that that's how they were able. That's how Basil was able to convince people to do this thing that to let them have relations with every girl before they get married. That's what it says. Midrash Talpius. It's mamish, really weird. Depraved people. In Masechet Sofrim, it also talks about Besuel, what he was going to do with his daughter if he wouldn't have gotten killed. In Masechet Sofrim, it says a little bit differently. It says that the rule was that every father would have relations with his daughter when she turned 3. And that Rivka was about to turn 3, and what happened was that Besuel ended up dying beforehand. But that's every father having it with his daughter. So the Radal says that these two ideas are merumas in the name Besuel. Either you can learn the word Besuel as a portmanteau of Bitoy Al, his daughter not, meaning the rule was that every guy had relations with his daughter when they turned 3, but him, by Besuel, Bitoy, his daughter Al, not, because he ended up dying beforehand. Or, that's like Masechet Sofrim, or the Radal says, It's being miramis to what we said from the Yaakov Shemaini, that he was the king and he had relations with every girl before she got married. Besuel is like a lashon of Besula. Every Besula had to come to him first. That's what the Radal in the Hosafos Ois Ches says.
He was around when Eliezer was there?
Yes, Besuel was around.
That's why, because they say Levan talked.
Well, so Chazal tell us that it was, if you look in the Pesukim, you see that Besuel was around, and at some point it sort of stops mentioning Besuel. So Chazal tell us that what happened was that night he was going to poison Eliezer, and the Malach came and switched the food, and he ended up eating the poison and he died. And then Lavan was sort of, you know, the father of the household. Right, he took over. Yeah. So that's how Besuel sort of got out of the picture. And Pirkei Avot Eliezer doesn't bring that down, but it's a medrash elsewhere. Part. V'hanara shelo yehoso yodas maha ish or mahu ish kibla alel is davig liyitzak. The girl Rivka, who didn't even know what is a, you can read it as maha ish, like who is the man, or the way the other Gersa, the Marzu says it, mahu ish, what is a man? She didn't know what a man is. She's a mamish, a little girl. She had no taivas for a man. She didn't chap what does it mean to get married, and she had no desire to do such a thing b'chlal. She didn't even know why she would want it. She still agreed to Eliezer to go off to go get married to Yitzchak. Mamish anes. Why would she do such a thing? She doesn't even know what does it mean to be married. But she agreed to it. Lama. So why? Why Hashem let that happen? Because shehayis ru'uyolai mimei ima mipi gvura. Because she was fitting to marry Yitzchak from the inside her mother's stomach, from before she was even born, mipi gvura, from by divine what's it called, decree. Shinama, it says in the pasuk, this is a little bit tricky, what's the drush over here, bimaznayim la'alois hema mehevel yochad. The way the Radal explains the drush is like this: bimaznayim la'alois hema mehevel. Bimaznayim la'alois, a maznayim is a what's it called, a scale. So he says, but maznayim la'alois, people try to scale, they try to measure different cheshbonos that they have about Shidduchim, what do I think is important and what's not so important, and they put it on a scale. He says, Hey ma me hevel. All these different things that people try to make a cheshbon and accounting of, all of that is hevel. And then he sort of repeats the word hevel again. Mehevel yachad. Mehevel, they're together. From the time that they were hevel, before they were even born, Hashem has already decided which zivugim are going to go together. So all the cheshbonis of the maznaim, that's all hevel, because from hevel they're supposed to be together. From hevel meaning the air, when they were just air, before they were even born, they were just neshamas without a goof, they were already yachad. So Hashem already decided that she is for this girl is supposed to marry Yitzchak, so she's supposed to marry Yitzchak. Va'anu Lavan u'Besuel, Va'amru Lavan and Besuel answered, and they said, "Hayal v'yatzah adavar mepia gvura." Since this matter came from by divine decree, Hashem said it. Hashem made it happen. Ein ani yochalei la'akev. We can't stop it from happening, and we're gonna let it happen. Shem Ratzon the Pasuk. Va'yan Lavan u'Besuel. Lavan and Besuel said, "Va'yomru." And the Gemara says that it says Lavan u'Besuel. Lavan is Besuel's son. Usually the father speaks before his son. It says no. Lavan, he was a hedyet kafetz berishin. Lavan was the Gemara calls an hedyet, which I like to translate as an idiot. An idiot jumps ahead and he starts speaking before it's his turn to speak. So Lavan spoke before his father. Vayomer, and they said, "May Hashem yatzal adavar." The matter came from Hashem, and we're going to let it happen. And they said, "Hine Rivka ufanacha kachvaleich." Here, Rivka is in front of you. Take her and go. Okay, so Eliezer stayed overnight over there by Besuel's house with Rivka, and we said the Medrash says that that's the night that Besuel died, and sort of Lavan became the responsible party. Hushkin Babaiker, Eliezer woke up in the morning. Eliezer wakes up the next morning and he sees there's a Malach standing there, and the Malach's like, "Okay, let's go. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. We're ready to go back home." Omar Lahem. So Eliezer said to the family of Rivka, he said, "Al tacheru yisi, don't delay me. Hashem hitzich darki. Hashem gave me special hatzlacha in my mission. I want to keep going and finish it off already. Harehu b'chutz l'mamtini. Look, Hashem is waiting outside for me. Hashem is waiting outside. A malach is waiting outside. Hashem sent someone waiting outside so that I could continue on my journey." V'achlu v'shosu mimishte Rivka. They ate and they drank. They had a special party in honor of Rivka. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayeichlu vayishtu hu v'hanashim asher imay." They ate and they drank. He, Eliezer, and all the men that were with him. He came with 10 camels, whatever. So it was the whole entourage. Vayemar aleihem al tachru reisei. He told Rivka's family, "Don't delay me. I want to go already." So before he left, ukechazan shuhu imay mevarich asakala. Like a chazan who stands under the chuppah and gives a special bracha to the kala, a fancy bracha or whatever. Kach amdu ubirchu es Rivka. So too, they stood up and they gave a bracha to Rivka. I guess it's talking about Lavan and his mother. And her mother, what? Ukichazan. Right. Kach amdu ubirchu es Rivka. Like a chazan. Just like a chazan gets up and gives a special bracha under the chuppah for a kala. A chazan. Beside the kedushin, yeah, beside the kedushin, whatever exactly it means, or when they sing, I don't know, baruch haba, or whatever exactly it means, brucha haba, because they talk about the kala. So whatever it means that they give a special bracha for the kala under the chuppah, so too over here, amdu, they got up, ubirchu es Rivka, and they gave a bracha to Rivka. And some is talking about Rivka's mother and her brother Lavan. Shemar says the pasuk, "Vayivarchu es Rivka, vayemrula." They said to her, "At hayi la'alfei revava v'yirash tareich is shara soinov or oivov, I don't remember." They gave her a special bracha before she was on her way out. The Gemara dashens from this in Mesachas Ksubis that this is the source of Birkas Erusin. Now, when you before you do kedushin, you have to make a bracha. Asher kedushin mitzvah soyisov v'tzivano ala raya yisitilano vasalano sarusa yisitilano sanusus lano, etc. The Gemara says that the source for that bracha is over here. We see that before Rivka got married, they made a bracha. Okay. I think that we will. Let's just finish this off. To that, b'sheshoyis b'yayim yatzal ha'eved mecharan. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue from here tomorrow, next week. Alright, shkoyach for coming. Yeah. Have a good Shabbos.